Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, April the 16th, 115th day of the new year. I guess it's another 150th anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's death.
It is.
Well, yesterday was. And then, you know, when he was shot and everybody's... But they didn't say when he was shot. They were saying, you know, the assassination occurred.
Gotcha.
And then today's his dead day.
Yes.
So we heard it all, which is, to me, it's cool. I mean, being a history geek, I don't mind that at all, but... Who better to be here than anybody, frankly? Fred Van Fleck.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So you guys have this week off? Is that the deal?
Yeah, hence the casual dress that I've got right now.
Well, I wasn't worried about that. I figured you're actually working today and doing something. But I've noticed the traffic on the streets is significantly lower around the 7 o'clock hour and around the 3 o'clock hour.
Yes, that is very true. We are on spring break all week this week.
Well, at least it is today, springing.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
Beautiful out there.
For those who have to work, they may not be aware that it's spring-like outside, but you know, we'll do our best. Well, maybe it'll hold and the fog won't roll in for us.
Technically, I did work today, though, so.
Or I you
am
did.
Working still, yes.
Oh, I see. Now this is work. Okay, well, we'll put him to the task. We'll find out who we brought along. No. You can't save yourself yet. We'll be...
The best Spanish language station on the North Coast is Juan 790. Tune in to 790 AM for great music, sports from ESPN, and CNN News en Español. If you're a business owner, ask Juan to connect you with the Spanish-speaking community. You'll be glad you did. Visit Juan online at juan790.com or give us a call at 442-5744. Juan 790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred
Van Vleck.
Just see how long he let me pause. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, let's get a simple one. Here we go. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry. Okay. French aviator and writer. A leader's a man who assumes responsibility. He says, I was beaten. He doesn't say, my men were beaten. So with that as a backdrop, you brought one of your men along, sir.
I did, Dave Stevens.
Hello.
On an off day.
That is correct. He's in here on his off day. And he is in here. He's actually a teacher at Eureka High School, teaches our CAD program, computer-aided drafting. Or is it assisted? Aided, isn't it?
Aided, yeah.
Aided, yes.
Oh, I was thinking dispatch. Sorry.
And also our woodshop teacher at Eureka High School.
Yep. Ah, they still have that sort of thing these days, huh?
Yeah, still do.
Now, you're the guy, or you're teaching the class that's over in the Marshall Cafeteria Auditorium, right?
No, the woodshop.
Or are you still over at the high school, on the high school campus?
Yeah, about 8 years ago, the woodshop moved from on top of the hill to down by the ag complex across from...
Oh, really?
Campus. Yeah, across from, on Del Norte Street.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So that's why you have such an esteemed presence in his mind, is because you're next to the egg shop.
I like to think because I do a good job.
No. Look who you're dealing with. What is the biggest thing about change in, I guess we'll just call it the wood shop at this point. You know, if somebody went through in the 60s or 70s and they wandered in today,
right,
what would they see?
They would see a lot more technology. Obviously, we have to start with like the fundamentals, right? You have to do your basic shop safety stuff. And once you get in the shop safety,
glasses, make sure you come out with the same number of fingers that you went in with, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Hopefully, that works out.
You know, that's actually a great story to go along with that safety. Ask them about the new technology in the table saw, and how many fingers it saved.
About two. To date, yeah. So the new technology is that when your finger comes in contact with the table saw blade, instantaneously.
Shut down.
Right, yeah. It's like an airbag kind of going off underneath the table saw blade.
So you had a couple kids getting excited here, or were you showing other staff members?
No, I had a kid who wasn't aware of his surroundings. Let's say that. Well, that's nice kid, honest mistake. And, you know, it cost about $70 for the cartridge and $30 for the blade, because I don't run really expensive blades. And, you know, $100, easy money.
Save some fingers.
Just keep his finger, yeah.
Yeah.
My son, actually, one of the accidents, my son was actually standing right behind the kid that did it. It wasn't my son, just for the
record. And he didn't push anybody into the blade.
Well, at least that's a story.
Clear the whole thing. Well, David, a lot of commercial machines have that same ability, right?
I mean, no, this is the only one that I know about.
Oh, the hand saws and the circular saws that the contractors are using, they're not the automatic stops? No.
If your finger touches it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You
know, I don't read an awful lot of like popular mechanics and things like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was one of the TV shows where they probably have the newest, latest, greatest.
Yeah, there is a contractor version of the saw that's lightweight and portable. You can bring it to the job site. But this is a stationary big cabinet saw.
Do a lot of the machines have that?
No. Table saw is the only one. But in every 7 minutes, there's somebody who suffers a table saw injury. So it's the most common one. So that's why they went after that saw first.
Really? Yeah. I would have thought that a table saw was going to be one of the most safe, because you've got the little prodder pushy thing that you use, and you, yeah, I mean, you're never
that you should use. Just want to make sure you get that accurate.
Emphasis taken.
They're called push sticks, by the way.
Oh, is that there's not the pushy thing? Push stick. Okay. So there still is cutting going on. There's still wood going on. There's still the kids still have a chance to make product.
Like I brought you a picture. I know the radio people can't
works
see
dandy,
it.
Yeah, the old picture thing.
Right, but you can get an idea, thumb through some of the projects that we're doing here and use your vernacular to describe it. That's a...
Ooh, nightstand.
Yeah, very good.
Okay. Oh, that's computer rack.
We'll talk about that later. There's a boat.
Boat?
Mm-hmm.
This is just in case the tide comes in?
Just in case.
All right. Well, so there's some compound... angles and things that are being used. Now, will the kids do these independent, or do you cross-reference and are you kind of mentoring as they're going through this once they get the basics?
So that little boat there is very complicated as far as, like you said, compound angles. There's no straight lines. There's no reference to go off of. So
and it has to go together good.
I would hope so.
I mean, otherwise, you don't want to use it as a planter.
So this is a wood three student, and so he's doing a lot of self study on that one, and I help him where he needs help, and that's the goal. Once you get in the wood 2-3 classes, you kind of do more problem solving and think through your issues.
Will the computers? And I guess that's kind of what all this stuff is anymore.
Right.
Well, let me gather my thoughts here. I'll be back. Mm-hmm. Well, we all will be back. It's 3:19.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Van Fleck and Mr. Stevens from Eureka High School. David, you're looking at these various projects now that are coming out. I mean, even just a router was a big deal 20 years ago.
Just a conventional
hand. Regular old one handle, and you run the router and you try to, either smooth the corners off or do some dovetailing, things like that. Is everything now moving towards computer?
More and more it is, but you still have to have the fundamentals. If you don't know what it feels like to push a piece of wood through a table saw, you're not going to know what that surface finish is going to be like off of a CNC router. So you have to know about woodworking before you just say, I'm going to buy myself a computer and a CNC machine and
build a deck.
Yeah, or build some furniture,
et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And the learning curve behind all the technology takes quite a bit, too. So you can't just go out and buy it and be proficient.
Yeah, it's kind of like a golf club.
Very much like a golf club.
What do you mean? I bought it. I'm great at it.
Yeah.
The higher the score, the better, right?
Yeah, and if you ever move off that thing with the windmill. It's a whole different ball game.
My goal is to reverse my bowling score and my golf score.
There you go. Yeah, invert the two, huh? Dave, do kids get the concept of a basic power tool?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what about a hand-operated tool? I mean, I know a lot of those are now in museums. But I'm thinking, you know, the old drill, right? Where you just, you cranked and you had the big heavy drill bit and you had to cinch it in, and then it became the electric drill, and then it became cordless, and then what happens if the battery isn't working? And do they get that continuum as part of that educational base?
Well, as we're starting to phase in more of the high-tech stuff, you know, the 3D printers, the CNC machines, and the laser engravers, you have less chance to teach the hands-on or the hand tool stuff. You know, back in the 60s, I'm sure you taught hand plane and hand drilling and that.
No,
kind
it was
of stuff.
Okay. Sharp edge, don't touch. See, watch. Okay, now do.
Right.
But yeah, they didn't let me in wood shop.
Actually, Brian was really good hand-eye coordination because they used stone and chisel.
That's right.
For
that's
taking, right. Taking you know, notes.
You find a round ball and you kind of work it into a round object that can roll downhill. And take out your teacher.
Let's hope not.
So there just isn't enough time for the kids to understand, or there's no practical application for them to understand some of the hand tools?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think, you know, with this generation of instant gratification, we have a lot of kids on cell phones. And so they want it now. And for me to tailor to that, I want to make sure that they get, I wouldn't say instant gratification, but they need to see the relevance of what we're doing. So why am I cutting this board with a handsaw when over there there's a chop saw or a table saw? Let's just use that machine. And so I have to make my class relevant so they see the importance in it.
What about sandpaper? Does that show up?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
all the time.
Laborious,
yeah.
Tedious,
true.
Time-consuming, not instant.
That's true.
Boy, you might even sweat a little bit.
You might.
Oh, my. Mm-hmm. And then there's the cleanup afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. So they.
How do they wrap around that one?
The common complaint of the woodshop teacher is this done? And my common response is, do you see glue marks? Do you see pencil marks or machine marks? And they say, yes. And I say, so do I. Make sure you don't see them. And, you know, that's the rough draft of sanding. The final draft is, do you see scratches from 80? Do you see scratches from 100, 120, so forth and so on?
Do you get them down into the steel wool, or is 220?
Yeah, no, I had a young lady finish a jewelry box, and we put about 15 coats of lacquer on it, let it cure for about 3 weeks, and then she leveled the lacquer and polished it out with, started with 400, worked herself up to pumice stone and a little bit of rubbing compound from a automotive industry. And it looks
oh,
like glass.
The little gritty?
Yeah, you know, just like you're buffing out a car. Yeah. And so, and she could see her face in it.
She got the depth that she was looking for.
Absolutely, yeah. She was pretty proud of it.
Is this a lost art? And I'll say an art, not a craft. I'm thinking of the do-it-yourselfer. Not the, I mean, the professional guy, yeah, they're going to be snapping this stuff out, and yeah. You know, IKEA, et cetera. And,
right.
And then you've got the high-end craftsman product. But for the regular guy or gal, is woodworking becoming something?
I don't think so. They say automotive mechanics is number one, closely followed by number two for the American male hobbies. So it's still relevant, and we still have, there's a big market for to tailor to people who, you know, want to, in their golden years, you know.
That'd be over 20.
But from my perspective, I think there's so many more skills learned in the wood shop than just a hobby, because, you know, one of the things that we don't want to teach anymore, we're talking about teaching career readiness, things that people can make a life skill out of. And wood shop, if you think about cabinetry and different things like that, you can certainly make a living at that, but there's not a huge amount of people that go into building cabinetry, and the pay isn't off the chart. But I'll tell you, the pieces that come out of here, the hand-eye coordination that comes with it, the skills and measurement, the
saying,
soft skills that come along with it.
Geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there's something that geometry can be used for that's legit.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So we're going to be hopefully offering a new class called Engineering next year, Engineering 1, where the kids are going to be learning how to generate their own images to either use the 3D printer to print those images or the CNC machine to cut those images out on wood. And then so on one hand, it's taking the skills, the hand-eye coordination, technical woodworking skills out of it. On the other hand, it's putting the manufacturing skills into it. So, you know, to tailor
the career part instead of the hobbyist part.
Right.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fred Van Fleck and Dave Stevens from Eureka High School. Dave, in the wood shop area, is it fair to call it shop anymore?
Yeah.
Or is it more a lab?
Some people call it a wood lab, but I still call it wood shop.
Fair enough. What is the biggest wow for parents? When you, and I presume you participate in the back-to-school night.
Sure.
Some of the parents will show up.
Yeah, obviously the computer-controlled stuff is pretty neat for a parent to see. And students will experience that kind of technology, not in their first year, but their second or third year, depending on their project. But they're also fascinated with that with the safe saw technology. So
is that the trend?
That absolutely is a trend.
So I would imagine a drill press could be just as nasty if somebody's trying to hold a piece and pull something down and it starts to spin.
Sure. Well, as I was saying to you earlier, the statistic says that every 7 minutes, somebody gets hurt on a table saw. So a company called SawStop made the saw so when your finger touches the blade, it instantaneously triggers a brake mechanism, jams itself into the table saw blade, and you save your finger.
How'd you like to be on the R&D team in that company?
Yeah, I would. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Well, yeah, final product, yeah. You betcha. Yeah.
Right.
I worry about the first version.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's some of that stuff is way cool.
Yeah.
And do you bring in the trades regularly for either show and tell, either for them to show and tell the kids or for the kids to show and tell them?
Yeah,
what they're learning on?
We used to do, last year we went on a field trip down to College of the Redwoods, show the class what opportunities are available down at College of the Redwoods, and we stopped at Forbes Cabinets. And one year we took the kids up to Wildwood Manufacturing to make guitars up in Arcata, stopped at J.R. Stevens, so showed them the cabinets that are made on mass production up there, so they get to see a little bit of this and that. And hopefully we're going to be doing a Boys and Girls Club build day with the Humboldt Builders Exchange. And I'm gonna
so you'll be working on the project?
Yeah, well,
it's almost walking distance for you.
Yeah, Humboldt Builders Exchange is encouraging our students to come out for a volunteer day, and I think it'd be a good experience for my students to see and connect with other contractors. Maybe they can, you know, seek employment if
Or just the community service thing that the kids have to do now.
And
why
too.
Not do it with something that they're excited about instead of a broom?
For sure.
Fred, when you look at this, you know, obviously you're looking at the dollars of the fancy machines and the supplies that are required to keep them going. Does this stuff get you excited? I mean, is this something that is cool here but could also be in four or five of the other career, whatever it's called, vocational education classes?
No, career and technical education.
See, I knew I got somewhere in the neighborhood. At least you knew what I was talking about.
I did. And so, you know, the really interesting thing that is making headway in education right now is we're moving away from where we're at just 5 years ago. 5 years ago was all about testing, all about high stakes testing, all about how students perform on the test, all about which math or English class they're going to take next to be remediated so they'll score higher on the tests, to moving to...
Now, was that funding or was that college-bound based?
That was for all students. And that
what was the driving force there?
The state and accountability. And the state coming to us and saying, if your students don't score well enough on these state tests, we will put you in program improvement as a school district.
And based on kids graduating who couldn't read, write, do arithmetic, that kind of stuff?
Well, certainly the intent behind it was was good. Exactly what you're saying. The reasoning or rationale behind it was students weren't graduating with high enough test scores, weren't graduating on grade level to enter into a college on grade level classes they're having to remediate when they get into college. Students were entering the workforce without the soft skills or the content knowledge necessary to be successful in the workplace. Those are all good reasons.
That'd be like learning how to swing a hammer and cut it with a manual saw. Sorry.
You know, my favorite hammer is
it's all going really past fast for me now.
But where the pendulum is swinging with education now is it's swinging more back toward soft skills and students knowing how to work, students having that work ethic, having the grit, if you will, to be able to have the tenacity and the intelligence to figure a problem out, much like Dave was just talking about when students get into Wood 2 and Wood 3 and the cabinetry classes, giving them a project and saying, figure it out. And when they get stuck, don't just give them the answer. Give them some hints around the answer to come back so they can actually figure out what the problem is. Because
well, I would think if Dave gave them the answer, doesn't mean that the job is done.
No.
Now they got to use it and get the stuff squared up.
Right, right. And from my perspective, especially if you talk about going into hands-on skill areas when students get out of high school and go on to some sort of post-secondary training, but are going to work, whether it be as a auto mechanic, a welder, cabinetry, or whatever it is, go talk to their shop teacher, and you'll find out real quick if the kid has the student has the soft skills to be successful in the workplace.
Hopefully they're not adults, man.
Mm-hmm. But I bet you right now, Dave could tell you the top students in his class that are going to be very successful in hands-on skills when they work out in industry.
Will a lot of these kids, Dave, look to take this skill set and go on to a vocational school? I'm thinking I'm trying to draw a parallel with the auto mechanics.
Sure.
Because I know Hanson had tremendous success with the kids going to the place in Phoenix and a couple of other places and really get high-end skilled jobs.
Sure.
Without going to the four-year thing. I mean, is there an equivalent in your arena for that?
Yeah, it's right down the street, College of the Redwoods. They have a fantastic woodworking program and construction technology program. So my students can have the benefit of not having that high price tag attached to it and go right down the street. You know, hopefully their parents can say, you can live with us and save some money, and they can be either explore career options or if they know that that's what they want to do, then they can go ahead and do that. I took a wood shop class at my junior college, and here I am. So,
is part of your approach the business side of it, or is this just the competency side of it?
Mainly the competency side. I mean, we do a little bit like this. I have a clipboard here with the school logo on the backside.
I think everybody can see that.
Yeah, thanks. So we do a little bit of fundraising, and the kids kind of see a little bit of the business side, but not much.
There's some ratio between time spent, materials used, and,
right,
and product value.
Right, yeah. Right. And I do have a lot of kids who are going to go the engineering route, too. You know, a lot of high-achieving kids who are one's going to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, and he's going to be a mechanical engineer, and he's using the high-tech machines. And hopefully when he gets down to the school, he'll be the go-to guy. When someone has a project they want to do, he can, you know, be that guy who can help them out.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Dave Stevens and Fred Van Fleck.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Stevens and Fred Van Fleck. Dave, in this arena, carpentry, manufacturing, wood products, are there apprenticeships, things like that, that some of the trades have? Is there an equivalent of that in the woodworking arena?
I can't. For the carpentry, there is. For the union carpenters, they're required to do carpentry training. I'm not sure how much woodworking is involved in the carpentry. Because, you know, I say that some people might say woodworking and carpentry are the same thing. But
one's a finished.
I'm talking about furniture and cabinets as opposed to construction of houses or buildings and that.
Is there a market for the, and I will say high-end because most times it does kind of end up there.
Yeah.
For high-end product? Obviously, there is for the high-end, the well-established guys, but for some, if a kid's considering doing this as a career move, how do they get into it and then have the stay-with-all or the sticking power to be there long enough either to get their name made or to hook on with somebody so that they can really do this as a career?
Well, there's, I guess, two aspects of that. One would be the custom cabinets aspect. The other one would be the fine furniture aspect. Fine furniture aspect, you're looking at kind of an artist. So how do you break into the art world? I don't know.
You starve. You know, that's what I understand.
And that happens
a lot. The first skill set is, you know, can you survive on top ramen for a decade?
So if you're a fine furniture maker, that might happen. If you're a fine cabinet maker, there might be more money involved with, you know, higher clientele, and you can get your name as far as working with somebody else established a lot faster. There's a lot
work with an established firm,
right? And there's a lot of great cabinet makers in Humboldt County.
Now, are they great because they have talent set, or because they got the new latest greatest cool toy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you slip straddling on the fence?
No.
It's a new senior class project, Bill. Teacher offense.
That's right. There are some cabinet makers that do things very old school, and they have a lot of talent. There's a lot of, or some, more and more you see cabinet makers with the newer technology that, you know, have a different focus on things.
If folks want to see some of this stuff, is there an opportunity for them?
As far, oh yes, there is. On the 6th and 7th at Redwood Acres, there's the program, the Best of Humboldt Youth Expo. And within that, they're going to have the Industrial Technology Fair.
So that'll be in first weekend in June?
Believe so.
Very cool.
And
I just looked at the calendar
over your
head. Thanks for coming by, guys.
Thank you.
Join
us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.